Hillsong pastor Carl Lentz fired for moral failures. And how do we react when false teachers fall? And spiritual advisor to the president does pagan chanting in order to bring him victory. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we have a couple of, I would say, really hard topics to discuss, things that should be heavy on us when we even have to discuss these things. And we praise the Lord that even if we are sorrowful, we are yet always rejoicing. And so one of the things I wanted to talk about, I mean, we have a number of topics to discuss, and I'll try to get to them quickly, is, I mean, we've all, I'm sure, are still under the rings of everything that's going on with the election, whether there's some corruption going on, whether it is just a fact that we just have some really bad people out there. Guys, I was just thinking about this, and this has nothing to do with the episode today, but I was thinking about people that like to, even Christians, I hear all the time, this is something, for some reason, this is something that's common stance, commonplace for the Christian to say stuff like, well, most people are good people. Hey guys, 60% of people in Colorado voted that late term abortion, all right, should not be banned. Yes, a baby that could be taken out of the womb, completely viable to live, that absolutely, that baby should be able to be murdered in the womb. If you think that everyone is pretty good and that most people are pretty good, just know that most people believe in dismembering and murdering babies in our country. The majority, I'll say that. The majority of people right now believe that, guess what? It's completely okay to murder babies. And this isn't even, guys, I'm not even a huge fan of doing late-term abortion bans. I just want bans on baby murder. But I will tell you this, how depraved is this nation? How depraved is the state of Colorado that 60% of people voted to make sure that women can still murder their babies in the late term of that pregnancy? I mean, absolutely pathetic. And the fact that, I believe it was stated that only 3% of Americans viewed abortion as the key issue during their voting period. How pathetic are you that the murder of innocent babies, that this isn't absolutely number one? And I, you know, we had someone, I'd posted about some of the laws that kind of went through recently, and somebody said, well, we don't legislate morality. Actually, yes, every single law that we have pretty much legislates morality. That's just a dumb statement that no one should ever make. It is dumb to say that we do not legislate morality through laws. Almost every single law that you can think of is a legislation of morality. Something that has nothing to do with today's show, but something that we had to talk about because we're in the midst of an election that there's corruption, it looks like I said, going on. There looks like some weirdness going on with some of the ballots and all this stuff. It's just kind of crazy. But, you know, praise God we have a Savior. I was thinking about this quite often recently because I could not imagine as a non-believing conservative, which is what I was as before I was saved. So yes, you can be a conservative and not saved. It's quite common, actually. And as a non-believing Republican is what I was, I could not imagine where my brain would be going right now. I remember in 2008, which was the year before I came to the Lord, in 2008, when Barack Obama had won, I drank myself silly and then messaged all the people on MySpace at the time that I knew voted for Obama, and I'm sure I said some very unbiblical things. And that's the reaction. Rather than having peace and understanding and recognizing that, guys, guess what? In other countries, there have been absolutely positively some of the most corrupt nonsense you've ever heard of. And just because maybe we didn't know it was like this in America does not change the fact that Romans 13 is still true. It does not change the fact that ultimately it's God that puts them in authority. That doesn't mean that every single one of them loves Jesus. Absolutely not. God used the Babylonians to put the Jews in captivity for their disobedience. So do not think that because someone's in there, first of all, oh, that's a great thing. You know what? Israel was asking for a king and they got it. They got Saul, didn't they? They wanted it so bad that they got King Saul. All right, so we need to recognize that and recognize where our hope is found. Where is the state of the church? And I think that brings us to a great place, because I do believe that sometimes it is a fact that persecution helps the church. That sounds terrible, but James chapter 1 would agree with me here about the individual believer. But also when it comes to the church, a lot of times persecution is where the seeds of the Christians are. That's where they're found. You find the seeds of the Christians in the early church, as Tertullian said, in the blood of the Christians, the persecution that comes. And a lot of times when the church becomes fat, dumb, and happy, what happens is we relinquish our power, because what we do is we sit on our laurels instead of recognizing that this world is going away. It's going to be done away with. It's going to be gone. And speaking of big churches, a big thing just took place. And I'm actually going to read what Brian Houston of Hillsong Church from Australia, but writing this to the Hillsong East Coast, the ones here in America, about something that just took place. To our Hillsong East Coast family, I'm very sad to inform you that Hillsong Church has terminated the employment of Pastor Carl Lentz. I know this will come as a shock to you, but please know that this is an action that was not taken lightly and was done in the best interests of everyone, including Pastor Carl. I will get to that, and I will tell you that's actually a very truthful statement. He says he thanks them for everything they've done, so on and so forth. He says, I know this announcement may not answer all your questions if you feel the need to talk to somebody, but as sudden as this feels to us, we must remember that it's not a shock to God, who birthed Hillsong NYC, I don't know about that, and already has planned for this time. He will continue to open doors and these things. Services for all ministry will continue as usual, and we're here for you. I understand many are saddened and confused with the news. And basically what he said is that what took place is him being removed because of breaches of trust and recent revelation of moral failures. Now, before I get into the nitty-gritty of some of the stuff and some of the reasons I would say Carl Lentz should never have been built up to be a pastor because of that history, and because I don't believe it was a move of the Spirit to have Carl Lentz as the pastor there, I will tell you this, guys. This is not something we should cheer for. It's not exciting. It's not, oh man, I'm so glad that the false prophet was shown forth to be who they truly are. While that's true, while God definitely exposes many of these men and women, look at Trinity Broadcasting Network and the Bakers and so forth, and all the people that have been exposed over the years, the Jimmy Swaggerts and all of them, that they were teaching false doctrine, and then guess what? They also were practicing that false doctrine. There's a big reason why Paul told Timothy so clearly, and it's a quote that I don't care if I quote it every single 5:11 news, but the fact is that if you're going to be a pastor, if you're going to be a shepherd, you are supposed to watch your life and your doctrine, and in doing that, you will save yourself and those who hear you. The fact is that when it comes to doctrine, what we believe affects how we act. Bad teaching leads to bad living. Orthodoxy, your teaching and your orthodox teaching, whether it is orthodox or heterodox, outside of the scope of orthodox or biblical teaching, leads to orthopraxy. So you practice that bad behavior. And I want to point this out because this is not something that is new. And this breaks my heart. I'm telling you this right now. Tony and I, before the show started, we pleaded, Lord, please, that this would do exactly what was taking place in 1 Corinthians when Paul wrote that they, very clearly, that he himself was turning a man who was in sin over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that he would repent. And what's cool is, if you read 2 Corinthians, it looks like it worked. So we do pray, because we don't say that these things don't work. But I believe personally that we are given specific instructions in Scripture concerning pastoral and deacon ministries. And guess what? If we don't follow them, we put other people's soul at risk. Those are not simply my words. That comes from a scriptural stance that if you puff someone up into a position they are not supposed to be, they will be turned over, especially somebody young, they will be turned over. And what will happen is they will be puffed up because you've placed them there, and they'll fall under the same condemnation as Satan. So we need to be careful about who we are appointing. We need to make sure that do they meet the biblical requirements. If there is any requirement they do not meet, guess what? They just don't meet it. They're not supposed to be a pastor, period. End of sentence. It should be very clear. I wanted to point out this, because I've talked about the pastoral ministry in the past. Titus 1, 5 through 9, 1 Timothy 3, you have clear instructions of what a pastor is supposed to look like, and we're supposed to follow those guidelines. If they don't meet it, they're not a pastor. If I tell you I'm a pro baseball player and I don't play pro baseball, I'm just a liar or a lunatic, okay? I only have two choices. And that's what's going on in a lot of churches today, is that people that are not called to be pastors, people that have not been appointed by the Lord himself, because he is the one who places pastors, teachers, evangelists, and so forth there, according to Ephesians chapter 4, so that we aren't tossed in to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Oh, by the way, connected to that passage is Titus 1, where he says that every single pastor needs to preach sound doctrine and refute those who do not. Okay, the priests of the Old Testament were condemned for not recognizing evil for evil. Do you realize that? Because they were ignorant and did not recognize evil for what it is. And that will come to play when it comes to Carl Lentz, because we're going to do a quick biography of Carl Lentz, because I can tell you this, I myself wrote an article, doing a chronological article on Carl Lentz before he fell here. And I had planned on not only teaching on it, but I had planned on actually going and writing this article, but I realized it was just far too much information. It was just too long of an article simply to be putting it up on Good Fight. But it's stuff that I remember where I said, this actually is a great example to say, wait a second, there are really big concerns to be raised from the get-go of his quote-unquote ministry. So let's start right here from an article in the Virginian Pilot. The Virginian Pilot, because that is where he got his start. And I'm just going to read a little bit here and there from this article, and we're going to go through a little bit of the chronological order of why we know he should have never been placed in pastoral ministry. And guys, when we recognize someone is in a position they shouldn't be in, we need to take them out of it, okay? Because you are putting their soul in danger. And then here's the beginning of the article. So it's Thursday night, and a pastor walks into a bar. No, really, it's Thursday night, and a pastor, Carl Lentz, walks into a bar. Specifically, the bar is WXYZ inside the hip new hotel aloft in Chesapeake during the invite-only party for its opening. The lobby has been transformed into a nightclub. A sea of alcohol flows, and a DJ blasts house music and hip-hop to a mix of corporate types and young socialites. He goes into some of the rappers, the local rappers and Olympic runners that are there, and how they were bumping this music and he was there, and they said, over in the den of the music, Haley is briefed on the guy asking about him, the guy who looks as though he's just sprung from a fashion magazine centerfold. Really? Haley asked, his face twisted in disbelief. He's a reverend? What on earth is his church like? And there's the punchline. What on earth is his church like? And this is not a joke. Carl Lentz goes into telling them that, you know, he does the same things. It's, you know, he does the same things that Jesus was doing. And guess what? You know, hey, this is totally normative. And I want to talk about his church here as it goes into Wave Church is the name of the church. And by the way, I visited Virginia a couple of times for the national tournament for wrestling, for high school nationals. I've gone twice, and we always try to find a church to go to. And every time it's been a big miss. So we actually almost ended up going to Wave Church. And I was like, wait a second, I think I know Wave Church. I've heard about this. And then we ended up not, because I realized it was where Carl Lentz got his start, similar to locally here, Rob Bell getting his start right across the street from Fuller Seminary at the church in Pasadena. And I said, wow, it's always interesting where these people start. And he started in Wave Church, and he had what was called Soul Central, and it took place in a theater-style auditorium with stadium seating, carpeted floors, and those tiny aisle lights. The pull-down screens have been replaced by enormous state-of-the-art monitors. On Wednesday nights at 8, just as Hump Day happy hours across the region are winding down, the flock arrives to strobe lights and stage smoke in the church lobby. Girls appear right on trend in tights and high heels. The guys in their plaid shirts, shaggy hair, and slim trousers look like members of a band. As the service opens, the rapper Mim's song's Move If You Wanna plays, followed by Lady Gaga's Just Dance. There are over 1,000 people that come every week to watch this stuff. Guys, this is how he was pulling people in. It goes on to talk about how he would actually, you know, pull up into motorcycles for interviews in his Guns N' Roses t-shirt, and this is how he meets people. This is how he meets them where they are. Guys, we do not meet people where they are by being just like the world. It's just a lie. It's such a ridiculous lie that we need to be like the world, that we need to go drink and party and listen to horrifying music. We are talking, Mims is the one that's famous for flipping people off during the Super Bowl. Lady Gaga's famous for songs like where she talks about Lucifer being the demon that she clings to. She's famous for songs promoting homosexuality and so forth. This is the stuff that he was playing to entice people into following Christ. Do you know what happens when you go to these? I will call them what they are. These are, and guys, these are, there's some that are local just like this. And this is what people do to entice young people into their clubs. Because if you have a lot of numbers, everyone thinks your youth group must be doing great because you got all these big numbers. But really what you're doing is playing a game show for a bunch of wolves. And if there are any sheep there, they are quickly devoured. That is exactly and precisely what takes place. They have no doctrine that they talk about. They have no deep sense of what Christ is. And so guess what? When they're going to their light party, because that's what it is. It's like light beer. That's exactly what this is. You're going to a light party. Eventually, your Christian party that you go to on Wednesdays is quite boring compared to the party that your flesh wants to go to on Friday and Saturday night. So let's call it what it is. You're not gathering people and reaching them where they are. What you're doing is turning wolves into wolves and predator for the sheep that are at your congregation. This is dangerous, and this is the edifice of the ministry of Carl Lentz before he would go out and then become, he would go to Hillsong as a kind of university they have, their teaching ministry, and then he would become part of Hillsong and start Hillsong NYC. But that doesn't stop this little train, because what else would be done there? He would also go on Oprah once he had a lot of fans, and some of the reason for that that fandom would come from being courtside at the Knicks games. Oh, you know, quote unquote baptizing. I guess he did some sort of baptizing on Justin Bieber, on Mr. Kevin Durant as well. And he said he baptized them. I believe one of them, at least Justin Bieber's sake, was in a bathtub. And you would see him courtside and sitting there and talk. He was like this celebrity, you know. He was like one of these celebrity pastors hanging out with all the basketball players. He was a high school basketball star back in the day and, you know, doing all this nonsense. And guess what? Then concerns were raised. Because everyone said, what's going on here? He was seen with a picture next to Justin Bieber with the song lyrics, Imagine All the People from the song Imagine. You know the song, the ballad that calls Jesus a liar. Imagine there's no heaven, it's easy if you try. Only people down below. Let's just do what thou wilt. Somebody who literally said, the song Imagine, okay, Somebody who literally, the writer of that song, John Lennon, literally said that the entire beat of philosophy was do what thou wilt, quoting Satanist Aleister Crowley, wearing his t-shirt that denies heaven. And it's just absolutely ridiculous to think about. And then guess what? What is he seen doing? He's seen slamming shots with Justin Bieber. And this is from an article that was written by the Christian News Network. It was one of their more viral articles, I believe. And they got a quote from Good Fight Ministries, I'll say, on here. And it says, the chief concern with these from these images has to be how someone who calls himself a pastor is engaging in such an activity with someone who has a history of abusing substances. How can Lentz give an account for himself when he takes shots alongside someone who has been arrested and pleading guilty to DWI? As Christians, we are not to walk as the world does. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. How must this look to the non-believing world? Is it normative behavior for the Christian? Is it the sort of behavior that a shepherd leading his flock should engage in? That is not what I read when I pick up my Bible. Photographs were taken in New Zealand as they were drunk and then shirtless inside of a bar. Another picture was seen of Carl Lentz with Justin Bieber, and it is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen, in all honesty, when I look at this picture, because I guess one of the more obscene ways to describe it is cleavage for a guy in his private parts. He had his pants pulled down almost completely, walking around the streets with just no shirt on. It was just incredible that he would walk this way. And even the reprobate, Mr. Joe Rogan, even talked about how would you let your wife go to this guy's church walking around like this? What an absolute embarrassment. This is disgusting. This is the same man who could take shots with Justin Bieber, but then when asked by The View whether or not abortion was a sin, whether or not murdering a child was a sin, he would just have a private conversation about that. That he could not say, guys, that he could not say the thing that in Proverbs chapter 6 says, God hates the shedding of innocent blood. In Jeremiah, by Jesus, well, God through his word tells us quite clearly in Jeremiah that guess what? Those people had innocent blood and they're slaughtering babies. A sin over and over again in Scripture, he said he could not say it was a sin. This is not a man who is a pastor. And I want to describe this because this is the reason why. When we don't teach true doctrine from the pulpit, when it's not taught, this is what happens because you're in direct disobedience to what God says in his word. Now, I want to point you to 2 Timothy 3:16, and then we're going to give the context to 2 Timothy 3. So I think it's really important. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, for all scripture is theanoustos, God-breathed, inspired by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. When your focal point is the light show and not the scriptures, you are not adequately equipping men and women of God for every good work. But I want to get back to the context because it's very interesting that not only here, but also in the book of Acts chapter 20, that when it comes to ravenous wolves coming to fleece the flock, coming against the flock to murder them, the thing that we are called to stick to is the word of God. Because remember, 2 Timothy 3 as a whole, the context is watching out for these things. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times or treacherous, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. Yeah, he doesn't seem very holy, getting drunk in bars. Unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And I have to say, they haven't even come out to say what the moral failings are, but moral failings almost inevitably have to deal with somebody loving pleasure more than loving God. Okay, but notice this, the parallel times come. For among them are those who enter into household and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses. We could point out to Clayton Jennings going and doing that to women using his teaching position in order to get inside women's houses and then sleeping with them, and then being built up back to a position. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men who also opposed the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith, but they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' follies was also. So now this is connecting all of that wickedness that is going to come in the end times, exactly what it's going to look like. Now you've followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse. It's only going to get worse, guys. It's only going to get worse. Deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing that from whom you have learned them from, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, the scriptures, the graphe, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The context of God's word being theanoustos, the very context of that verse is watching out for these wolves, watching out for end times, watching out for these things. And how do we watch out for them? We take them back to the Word of God. So when men are not teaching from the Word of God, we recognize them as wolves. When men do not teach sound doctrine, do not refute those who do not, are unwilling to recognize the holy from the profane, we need to recognize that, guess what? They are not dealing with God's word adequately, and they are not adequately equipping his saints. And that right there is dangerous. Now, I'm running out of time, but I'm going to try to play this clip, because this is the spiritual advisor, speaking of wolves. And guys, we still pray for Carl Lentz. We do want him to come to repentance. And speaking, but I want to talk about this. Paula White, another wolf, somebody who does not meet the pastoral requirements. Guess what? You can hear her right here in this clip, and I think it's going to be right before we have to do an outro real quick. You're going to hear her in this clip doing pagan chanting. Yes, pagan chanting in order for Trump to hopefully win. And I won't even get into the Sean Foyt, I guess is how you pronounce it, picture that I've seen a lot of believers who I love and love the Lord share with Brian Houston, who we just talked about from Hillsong, with Jen Johnson, with Cody Carnes, with Paula White, all pictured around praying over Donald Trump. Not that I'm saying, you know, you shouldn't have voted for him or something like that, and, you know, or not saying you should have voted for Biden. That's absolutely ridiculous. But listen to this, his spiritual advisor, and the pagan chanting she does exactly against what Jesus said in his word.
Strike and 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 strike until you have victory for every enemy that is aligned against you. Let there be that we would strike the ground, for you will give us victory, God. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of shouting and singing. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. For I hear victory, 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 victory in the quarters of heaven. In the quarters of heaven, victory, 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 victory. For angels are being released right now. Angels are being dispatched right now. Amanda ata ata raka te da baka sanda ata ambo osa kata rite eke banda ata rite ti di ashata. For angels have even dispatched from Africa right now. Africa right now. Africa right now. From Africa right now. They're coming here. They're coming here. In the name of Jesus, from South America, they're coming here. They're coming here. They're coming here. They're coming here. From Africa, from South America, angelic forces, angelic reinforcement, angelic reinforcement, angelic reinforcement. Pika hata anda ata orabata rata anda eke.
And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Those are the words of Jesus. And we need to make sure we submit to them and say, that's nonsense. God bless. The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 5:11 News.